Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Welcome to a brand new week right here on the Adventist World Radio SID Media. And as we always begin the week with our Make It Practical segment, we are beginning a new theme. And this week, our focus gets a bit personal. Not just saying what do you believe and you profess, but saying what you believe, can you test it with obedience? And we want to address the trap of intellectual agreement. You see, for centuries, the church has wrestled with a silent yet dangerous drift, mistaking intellectual agreement for truth, for life-altering faith. We can easily find ourselves in a place where we mentally check the boxes of orthodox theology, right? Memorize our creeds and say all the right words at the right time, yet our day-to-day lives look entirely unchanged. Are we settling for a cheap substitute that demands nothing of our schedules, of our finances, of our relationships? Is your Christianity a convenient religion? Or is it actually a lifestyle permeating into your everyday personality? Now, today, we're going to be asking the tough questions about what is faith, right? And we invite you to grab your Bibles, learn with us, lean in as we go deeper into God's Word and explore the vital difference between believing God, and actually surrendering your life to Him. And we want to invite you to be part of the conversation as well. Text us your thoughts, your comments, your questions, +27 73 470 3520. As we study, Mfundisi Pastor Mohunga joins us on the line to take us through and to help us make sense of it all. He's here. Pastor, good morning to you and welcome to AWR.
Thank you very much, my brother Derek. Good morning and good morning to our listeners.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Trusting that we find you well, Mfundisi. It's been a while since you've been on the morning show.
Yeah, exactly. It has been a while. Sandy, it's always a pleasure to be here.
No, we're grateful. We're grateful. Thank you so much, Mfundisi. Pastor, we're talking a very sensitive subject. I think this is what the heart of Christianity is all about. I remember Christ in another passage saying, "Why do you call me Lord and do not do the things that I say?" How would you define this difference we're trying to address between believing certain facts about Jesus and actually knowing Him?
Thank you, my brother Derek and our listeners. Mm-hmm. Believing facts about Jesus means accepting information about his life, his death, his resurrection, and talk about his teachings. Mm-hmm. And one may acknowledge these truths intellectually without allowing them to transform the heart. Knowing Jesus, however,
okay,
is a personal, living relationship with him. And that relationship is characterized by trust, love, obedience, and daily communion. We can also further say, many people know about Jesus, but true disciples know him personally. Mm. So the difference is similar to knowing facts about a famous person,
yeah,
versus,
yeah,
having a close relationship with them. Mm. In other words, saving faith moves beyond information to transformation.
Okay.
Saving faith moves beyond information to transformation.
Oof. That's profound. Is this yeah, what the apostle, as James writes in his letter, in chapter 2, he makes mention of how demons also have a knowledge, a belief, if you will, in this Jesus. I mean, verse 19 reads this and says this here, "You believe that there is one God. You do well. The devils also believe, and they actually tremble." How is this what you're trying to say when you talk about this knowledge, this information that does not transform? What does this tell us about maybe the limitations even of just having an intellectual knowledge of Christ?
Yeah, what we find in James is that James exposes the inadequacy of belief that remains mere intellectual.
Yeah.
Demons possess accurate theological knowledge.
Hey.
They recognize God's existence and power and authority, yet they remain in rebellion against him. And what does that teach you and I? Knowledge alone does not save. Correct doctrine without obedience is incomplete. We have the correct doctrine about the sanctuary, state of the dead and everything, but without obedience, that is incomplete. Genuine faith produces action and submission. So faith that is genuine, it produces action and submission. So we can rightly say true faith involves the heart, the mind, and the will. It results in a changed life that reflects God's character.
Yeah, yeah. A changed life that reflects God's character. My. It's not just a knowledge that says, I know, and you park it in the corner. It is saying, I know, and you can check it in my life. This is how it works. Mfundisi, if that's the case, then maybe from your perspective as a minister of the Word of God and a pastor in his church, why do you think then that so many Christians would settle for intellectual assent, right? Rather than actually getting connected, like you're saying, this actual relationship with him?
It's very interesting. There are a lot of factors that can contribute to that tendency. Mm-hmm. The first one, we can look at comfort. Okay. Surrender requires change.
Yeah, yeah.
It requires sacrifice. Hey. It requires submission to God's will. And if you want to do that. Hey. Then you talk about cultural Christianity. Many inherit religious beliefs without developing a personal relationship with Christ. You found your parents were believing this, so you also get it. So we inherit religious beliefs without developing a personal relationship with Christ. Then talk about fear of commitment. Complete surrender may challenge cherished habits and ambitions or even sinful practices. So if I commit to this, then I have to change this habit or I have to leave it altogether. Then you talk about knowledge-centered religion. In some settings, people emphasize learning doctrines while neglecting spiritual experience. So wholehearted surrender requires yielding every area of life to Christ. Every area of life to Christ, which can be very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And yet Jesus called believers not merely to admire him, but to follow him. You have to leave this, and then you have to follow him. And a lot of people are not comfortable with that.
Yeah, no. Spread this idea of denying oneself, taking up the cross and following him. That's a bit too
it's
much.
Too
now.
Much.
It's too much now. and in fact, that's where you see we have coined our own definition of what belief is in modern day Christianity. Belief means I go to church for an hour or two on a Saturday, on a Sunday, and I check the register for my attendance. I put in my time with God, and then I can go back to my life. And maybe talk to us a bit about that this modern cultural definition of belief and how it actually differs from the biblical concept of faith and what God is actually saying. This is what it means when you are saying you are a person of faith.
Thank you. In modern culture, belief is often viewed as a personal opinion.
Yeah.
It is something one may hold without necessarily acting upon it. It is treated as a private preference. Hmm. But biblical faith is much deeper than that. The biblical word for faith carries the idea of trust, confidence, reliance, and commitment. So faith is not merely believing that God exists. It is entrusting one's life entirely to him. Let's have an example. Believing a chair can hold your weight is different from actually sitting in it.
True. True.
So biblical faith sits in the chair. It acts on God's promises.
Yeah. It actually takes it into action. How do you differentiate this, though, Mfundisi? Because I think that's where part of modern Christendom, the perspective and the viewpoint they're coming from, is that when you now rely heavily on the works, right? James chapter 2, faith without works is dead. They say you are drifting into the territory of legalism, salvation by works. And so they are so driven to say, Christ has done everything for me. He died for me. He saved me. I don't need to do anything. I can rest in his free gift of salvation and the grace he has offered. How do we balance then, Funis, to say the call you're making of doing things is not actually trying to make people legalistic?
Legalism, we can say this is a pagan version of faith or of salvation.
Okay.
Where you say you do this, then God saves you.
Okay, okay.
But the biblical one is that because I have been saved, then I do this.
Okay, okay. It's approach.
So my obedience, what I am doing, I'm doing it because I have been saved. I'm not I'm not preaching. I'm not praying for the sick so that God saves me. But I'm doing that because He has saved me.
He has already done
it. I obey Him because He has already done it. So I'm not doing this so that He can give me that. No, that's a pagan version of salvation. But as we are doing what we are doing, because we have been saved already. And that's what James says, faith without works.
Is dead.
If you believe, let's see your works. Yep. Let's see what you yep. let's see it in action.
You know, this idea, Mfundisi, I think that's where everything hangs on. This idea of motive. Why are you doing what you're doing? Are you doing it to gain salvation? Or are you doing it as a fruit because you're already saying, I'm saved, therefore I live like a saved person? And I love how Paul puts it across in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, we are saved unto good works. That's why we are saved. We can't be saved and still be doing dirty works. Then what is the benefit of our salvation? How do we differentiate? It's almost like you're saved, but you're still drowning. Like, how do you say you're saved? And yet you're still suffering the consequences of being in that detrimental space. Can you describe, maybe, Pastor, for the benefit of our listeners that tune in this morning, a moment maybe in your own, maybe from a testimonial space, in your own spiritual journey, when you realized that your mental agreement wasn't enough to actually sustain the Christian life that was needed from you?
Thank you very much. There came a time when I realized that knowing Bible verses and understanding doctrine did not automatically bring peace, victory, or spiritual spiritual growth.
Yeah.
And you find that even there's a season of challenge and uncertainty. I remember when I completed school, when I completed college, I did my mechanics, and then you've got a year, and after, and then another year, you have no job, but you have completed. And then you've got all the verses that are claiming God can provide. And then you say, well, I think I have to move beyond this.
Yeah.
If it means the promise will come after a year, if it's after 2 years, it's after 3 years, it's okay. So I say now, the time is not mine to control. It is God to control. Mine is to trust. He has said it. And if someone who has said it, I trust that person, then that is fine.
Hallelujah.
When the promise will be fulfilled, that is not mine. What is mine is to trust that what He has said. Will come to place. And I think that moment, it differentiated that believing in verses and promises, claiming them is different from putting them
into practice,
right in the reality. I think almost everyone faces that challenge that comes, especially when trials come. Trials expose the difference between knowing about God and truly relying upon Him.
Mfundisi, that is it right there. That is it. They serve as that litmus test, the acid test to say, hey, is your faith really genuine?
Sure.
And I guess sometimes we don't want it to be, because it's not a comfortable place to be at, right? It stands true that saying, a faith that has not been tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. You're not sure if you're really believing for belief's sake, or you're just believing because that's the cool thing to do. But if you go through the crucible, the fire, out of that, and you really hold on to God, you know, yes, what I possess is genuine. It's genuine. And then it's the ceiling, right? A settling into the truth that you cannot be moved. You know, I was tempted a second there, Mfundisi, to also give my testimony, but maybe we will leave that for another day.
We need to hear it, because you have already opened the box, not Pandora one, but we need to hear it.
Yeah. Maybe quickly, yes. I'll give you the abridged version. When I was young in high school, I wasn't attending church regularly, but I came from a Christian home. We knew God and we prayed and so forth, but I was not a church goer. And part of the reason that I had an aversion for church going was because I looked at Christians and I would think, but they don't act like Christ, or they're not very Christianly. You know, the Gandhi concept. And that was me when I was growing up. Until maybe something came over me and I was really connected to my Bible, and I started reading deeply. I read deeply. I think I spent about 2 or 3 years connected to my Bible until I read it through. And as I was reading, talking about the disconnect, right, between belief and the sustenance of life, this mental information and how it cannot actually apply in life. I was young. I was in school, high school, and I was naughty. So I got into some spat with the law, and I ended up in police custody, Mfundisi. This one has never been heard on air. I ended up in police custody, and I got fetched by my father and my brother. And my father never said anything to me. He just came and fetched me from the police station. My brother then said this sentence, which I will never forget. And it changed my perspective. Yes. But aren't you the one who reads the Bible daily? Does it not tell you not to do this that you did? And then from that day, it's almost like a whole main switch that went on in my mind to say, wait a minute, this thing is not just for reading. It's not just for memorizing. It's not just for understanding and getting to know what the story is. It's for applying in life. Aren't you the one who reads the Bible? Doesn't it tell you not to do such things? And I think that day, realized my mental knowledge and what I had agreed with the scripture was not sufficient to sustain. I actually needed to apply it in real life. That's my story for this in a nutshell.
Thank you very much, please. That it's a whole sermon on its own. Yeah. We appreciate it.
But so let's close up our session for today. Maybe somebody who might be tuning in and saying, I need this kind of faith that is not a head knowledge, but life knowledge, that is not informative, but transformative. What would be the first step that you can give someone tuning in today to say they can take as they begin to break out into from this superficial approach of faith?
The first step is honest surrender to Christ.
Okay.
A believer must prayerfully acknowledge the need for a deeper relationship and invite the Holy Spirit to transform the heart. And the practical steps could include daily personal prayer, focused on relationship rather than routine.
Yeah.
A routine here, I must emphasize, we have Bible plans where every day, today I'm reading Genesis chapter 1, tomorrow I'm reading Genesis chapter 2. It's very good. But the focus must be on relationship, not routine. And you talk about studying scripture with a desire to obey, not merely to acquire information.
You
will start with a desire to obey, just like prayer. If you have no need, if you don't have you don't have a desire to obey God, don't pray. Don't read the Bible. Just close it. It's a waste of time. And then you talk about confessing areas of resistance to God's will. There are some areas where you resist God's will. Those must be confessed and pray for power. Amen. For God to give us power to overcome.
Yeah.
And then taking immediate action on what God reveals. What God reveals to you, do it. Take action. When Abraham was told to get your son, take him immediately, he took him. Because when you delay, you may even drift away. So growth begins when we move from asking, what do I know, to asking, how is God calling me to respond? Yes, I have read this. What is my response? What is my action? What do I have to do there? I think that can be a good beginning point.
Yeah, certainly. And I love this one that you gave about prayer, to say, if you're not going to involve it in this whole thing, you can forget about it. Then just leave everything. It's not going to benefit you at all. Thank you so much, Mfundisi. Appreciating you so much for helping us lay the foundation for our conversation. And I think we're going to have such an exciting time as we learn and get acquainted, but also be rebuked and brought back into the right line of what belief is and how actually we are called to obedience by the Word of God. Thank you, Pastor. May God bless you. And to we chat again tomorrow.
You are most welcome. God bless you and God bless our listeners.
Thank you so much. God bless.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.